What is the law on copyrights on social media and online forums? You'll want to know this. Stay tuned.
That's attorney David Gibbs Jr., and this is the Legal Alert.
John from Virginia is the owner of an online Christian discussion forum. Due to many of the interesting topics and discourse that he has on the forum, John decided that he wanted to write a book, but he wanted to include many of the posts and comments from his message board. He called our office at the Christian Law Association asking about any copyright concerns. Generally, any original thought or creative work that is fixed in tangible form is copyrightable material and belongs to the author. With online forums, the general rule is that the author of the post or comment is the owner of the copyright, unless certain exceptions apply. Our attorneys were able to advise John on this issue and take him through what he could do and could not do. Before you use what other people have posted, before what other people have put online, be sure you know the copyright and be sure you know that you're going to have to honor what the law says.
Our free newsletter addresses lots of issues like the ones we've been discussing today. Why not sign up for it now at christianlaw.org, christianlaw.org.
And we're 9.5 minutes past 12 noon on a gorgeous Thursday, this 23rd day of September. And if you've got a few minutes and you can hang around, we'd love to have you. Actually, all you can listen. We love having you around. But the time coming up here in just a little bit, we call Swap Shop, and we chat a little bit about what's going on. And then we've got items that we'll share with you that you, our listeners, have put on Swap Shop, whether you called it in at 828-884-9427. You emailed it to us at wgcr@icloud.com, or maybe you visited our website at wgcr.net and followed the tab that said Swap Shop. However you got your information to us, we have items to buy, sell, trade, lost and found announcement, garage or yard sale invites, and job openings. That all fits in the bucket of Swap Shop, and we'll look forward to sharing those with you again coming up here in a little bit. And we invite you, get your info to us if we don't have your ad already, or if you'd just like to take down our text line, and that's good to just chat back and forth with us on whatever topic we get on today. 828-577-1296 is our text line. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but every now and then I wake up and just there's a song in my heart. I'll find myself humming, and sometimes I don't even realize until I take a minute and stop and say, well, I'm humming that. I didn't even realize. I just guess I woke up with a song on my heart. And this is the song I woke up to this morning and found myself kind of humming it along, whether it was either out loud or just in my head. And I hope that you'll enjoy it today. Here's the Tabernacle Trio. We're going back a number of years with this song, We Shall Behold Him.
Thank you. Savior and Lord.
The Lord Jesus shall sound the shout of His coming. The sleeping shall arise from their slumbering place. And those who remain will be changed in a moment, and we shall be.
This is Roger Walton with a moment from our Christian musical heritage.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide.
It is better to wear out than to rust out. That was a phrase that was used by Henry Light, who is the writer of this hymn. He pastored a poor church in the fishing village, and though it was a hard and discouraging place to minister, he stayed by the stuff. He wrote this hymn as he was dying of tuberculosis and asthma. And it was at this point in his life that he kind of felt all alone. Reading the account of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he ran across these words from the two: "Abide with us." From that he wrote, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me."
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me.
A Christian Musical Heritage Moment is a production of Anchor Broadcasting.
And with that familiar theme, we welcome you to a Thursday's edition of Swap Shop, 23rd of September.
Already. And a cool start to a beautiful... I was just bragging on the forecast earlier. Fact that I looked up at the screen in a whole week without no rain.
Yeah.
A whole entire, I'm talking about seven solid days with nothing but blue skies and sunshine and clear nights. Man, is it going to usher in fall with a bang.
It is. And, you know, I like it. You know, I'm picky, and I tell the Lord I'm sorry a lot because I'm so picky, but the really cold weather kind of gets to my bones now that I'm older and have metal back there. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the crisp mornings and the beautiful blue of the sky.
Yeah,
there's just
incredible.
Something about that.
Yeah, I mean, I woke up early this morning. The wind was blowing some things around in the yard, and I guess we must have left one of the storage buildings door just slightly ajar. Well, the wind got a hold of it, and I kept hearing this noise, and I woke up a little earlier than usual, and sure enough, that door was open, being slung back and forth with the wind. But a beautiful start to this wonderful weekend. I know it's only Thursday. I know. But yeah, everybody's been bragging. Everybody get out and enjoy it. Everybody get out and enjoy the weekend because it's going to be nice. Well, it is. And so, but welcome back.
It's good to be back.
I know you had a couple of days there to rest and recover.
Yay.
And, you know, and we're glad. I felt kind of bad for folks the first day when I was in here flying solo because, you know, I usually do not have a hard time trying to find something to talk about. And and then it got a little bit better yesterday, I hope. But yeah, it was I was trying to get people to respond to me. We were talking about what you thought about, what's your favorite thing. Maybe some folks might want to weigh in today on what your favorite thing about fall is. Because, you know, like you just said, you know, the cool temperatures, the crispness, the blueness of the sky. Some people like the fact that, you know, I think there's a campaign right now for pumpkin spice to just be like, apparently a 24/7, 365 thing.
I'm not a whole lot on, if you can make pumpkin not taste like pumpkin, I'm all good with it. Like, I know, it's kind of like sweet potatoes. If you can make sweet potatoes bad for you, then I like them. Basically, I just like to skim the top off the sweet potato casserole.
Yeah, because that's the caramel. That's the caramelization going on. That's a big word, I know.
Do. But that is a big word.
It's kind of like eating the corners the edges of pizza.
Oh yeah,
you know, if the corners, you know, when that bread is just that.
That would be another question. Are you like in general, like pizza, you like the corners, brownies? Are you like that center one with no edges, or do you like the edges?
No, I like the corners.
Gotta have some edges.
You gotta have the corners, or the edges anyway, at least get an edge.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like eating pound cake. I like pound cake. I really do. I mean, but the thing about pound cake, I like it when the top gets like that crust on the top, you know, to where, and I know that's most of the time that's all the sugar and the and the sour and the cream cheese and all of that just floats to the top and crusts over, but yeah, that's the good stuff.
I'll take a cup of icing, please.
I'll take it. Hey, give me the mixer beaters, you know, the did you do that?
Oh yeah, it was way back when
kids?
We ate cookie dough raw and cake batter.
We got to lick the bowl and eat the beaters and the beaters on the mixer, you know. Mom had one of those handheld mixers, you know, that, you know, you pull I think about this, there's four boys sitting at the, you know, standing there at the kitchen counter waiting for those things to come out.
Uh-oh.
So somebody got one, another one got another one, and then somebody got the bowl, and then somebody got a spoon.
Well, there you go. Good mom.
So
she got
it got everybody. Now, we all didn't get maybe equal portions a little bit, but then again, we licked that bowl like clean.
Everybody got one.
Everybody got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, those favorite things, you know, and a lot of this time of year, that's when a lot of that stuff goes on, the baking and the canning and but yeah, if you can make it taste other than what its name is, you could always draw a crowd.
Yeah, I appreciate again y'all taking care of things while I was out, and it's good to be back. So today kind of feels kind of like a Monday to me because I feel like I'm starting all over again, but it is Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
And a couple of things here we just wanted to kind of remind you about is I-26 West. Friday and Saturday nights. I guess they did it last night.
Okay.
But Friday and Saturday night, they are detouring motorists on the Asheville Highway. Apparently, I-26 West, again, just Friday and Saturday yet to come, will be closed from exit 49 to exit 44.
Okay.
8 o'clock at night till, they say, 6 a.m., but hopefully sooner than 6.
Okay.
They got to do it to do what they got to do.
Yeah.
I was trying to see why they're setting the beams on the over Clear Creek.
Yes.
There with the whole project that's ongoing.
So that's from Fletcher exit down to the Hendersonville exit.
That's a good
on
stretch.
On the westbound side, about a 5-mile stretch right there. And so they're going to detour you out at Fletcher to go down Asheville Highway, which is 25, Highway 25 through, obviously toward Hendersonville, and you'll go through 25 all the way into where Highway 64 crosses there at the top of the hill at Church Street.
Okay.
And then you turn left onto Highway 64 to go east back out to I-26. To get back on the interstate.
And they say that they have modified, this is their words, the traffic signals will be modified to handle the increased traffic.
So that's the westbound side, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me back up for just a second. That would be the same thing, but you'll get off at the Hendersonville exit to go out toward Hendersonville and then up 25 to get back on at the Fletcher exit. So I had you going the wrong way for just a second. But, yeah, it's the same route, just different directions, okay? So same roadways, just different directions.
Yeah, because they say what they'll do is it'll provide longer green lights when to accommodate the additional interstate traffic. So they've got a system set up. So they're doing what they can to take care of you. Mm. They just wanted to remind you to slow down, obey the posted traffic signs, and remain alert when you're in the work zone.
Okay.
And definitely the folks out there
working. Well, at least they're doing it at nighttime, and they're trying to get it done, hopefully, before the onrush of fall leaf traffic.
Yeah.
Because there's, what, a couple weeks? I think they're giving it a couple more weeks before things are start to really get bright.
Yeah. We had read early on the unofficial title of leafologist. but they're very smart people who study all the enzymes and leaves and the syrup and the sap and all the other stuff. Syrup, because I was thinking maple. But all the sap and everything in the tree, and then how much rain we've got and how much sun we've had. But they say now, originally they were saying fall was going to be pushed a little later because of the mild temperatures we had. They said we need cold temperatures for things to do what they need to do. Well, I don't know if the cooler temperatures we're going to have this week, it's not going to hurt anything, and we'll dry out a little bit and we'll see. But they were talking like the last weekend of October would be maybe even a little bit later. So I don't know. We'll wait and see.
Well, I saw an interesting fact yesterday about these leaves. We were just mentioning that. The pigment that we see, you know, the bright colors, the red and the oranges and all that, the yellows that start to come out, it's always there. The pigment is in the leaf when it first, you know, when it puts back forth its leaf, the pigment is in the leaf. We just don't see it because the green is over, you know, that's the primary pigment when it first puts forth its leaves in the spring. The green is the dominant. And then as the life of the leaf begins to, you know, to dwindle toward this time of year, the green pigment fades away and it allows the orange and the reds. The pigment is already in place. It's like that's having cool. that, you know, in your skin. You know, it's always there. It's just that, you know.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that.
That's really cool.
I didn't know that. The pigment, like, you know, it's like you said. And I kind of thought about, well, you know, when we used to do leaf collections in high school, I don't know if they still do that or not, but we still had to go out in the woods and hunt leaves and, you know, do a leaf collection for a project in junior high and high school. That tells you how old I am, because we had junior high. We didn't have middle school. We had junior high, okay? And so that being said, you know, you could dry those leaves out when you put, and then if you kept your leaf collection long after your project was over, the leaves would turn in your project, and there would be the pigments that would show in your leaf. And I really didn't associate the two until yesterday when I read that fun fact about leaves.
That is so really cool.
Pretty cool.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And here we are trying to be leafologists.
Yeah, there we go. Well, you said that was very educated.
It was something. Learn something all the time.
Yeah, that learning, it's done you well. Done you well.
I don't know about that, but we'll see.
We didn't do leaves. We had to do a wildflower book.
Yeah.
When I was in Mrs. Nicholson's sixth grade.
Okay.
And if anybody went through T.C. Henderson Elementary here in Transylvania County and had Mrs. Nicholson, you did a book as well. And you had to not only find the flower and identify it, you had to draw it and color it and put all the info on it. Mm-hmm. And never been so proud and so happy to have anything behind me. And that was sixth grade, so I hadn't had a whole lot of things to do up to that point in my life. But
yeah, we'd find these old,
those were big projects. But
we'd have to find these old, you know, like those old scrapbooks that you peel the clear back, and then you put your mm-hmm. leaves in, and we'd have to press them so they kind of lay flat in there, yeah. and all that stuff. But you know, to be honest with you, it wasn't really a difficult job, except for having to go write down all those Latin words of all those different. You had to find all those different long words and learn how to pronounce them and all that stuff. But and we live in an area where there's an abundance of different types of trees and flowers and all of that stuff. And that was when you actually got out and actually did something besides Google something.
Yeah, we didn't have Apple or Siri or Alexa.
No, we pulled a book off of a shelf. It was called Encyclopedia Britannica. And you looked it up yourself. You know, no one was talking to you on the back end of Google.
That's right.
Trying to, you know, Lord, we remiss. I remiss.
I remember Encyclopedia Britannica. I thought we had hit the big time when we got the full set.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then part of my job when it was, you know, cleaning day, as I got to go through and make sure they were all in the right order.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody said what they love about fall is they love this time of year as God displays his colors.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like watching God's coloring book being colored daily.
That's right.
That's a good way to put it.
Absolutely.
Yes, and Daniel said, obviously, Mrs. Nicholson was no kin to his family because of all of the work there. Uh-huh. No, yeah. I don't know. She may have been. But you remember projects, those big projects. Like we had to do a senior paper in English.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of seniors had to. And they didn't do a senior project. That didn't come about until after I graduated. Yeah. But we had to do the big research paper.
Yeah.
So I do remember that. Let me give a shout out to folks in Haywood, Transylvania, and Buncombe counties.
Okay.
I know we've talked a lot about relief and FEMA and local relief and et cetera. And we have said before, you know, to be careful about people going door to door because, you know, that's not what FEMA was doing. Well, I want to kind of do a PS to that statement.
Yes.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, is in the area.
Yes.
And they're still over at East Fork Baptist Church and at Canton Recreation Park in Canton. They're there 9 to 5 through Friday of this week.
Right.
And they're there to meet with folks affected by the floods from Tropical Storm Fred. But I want to go a step further in this, that disaster survivor assistance teams or DSA teams will be going door to door in these areas. I've not been given a time frame when, but the article just said that they will be going door to door helping residents that it applies to get your paperwork done for FEMA assistance and see what other resources might be available. Here's what they say. The team members will be wearing FEMA attire.
Okay.
And they will have a federal photo identification badge.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And they will never ask you for money.
Right. They won't. Yeah, they're there to give you the information and gather information to assimilate all of this in so that the proper channels can be opened up for you. They're not going to be there to schedule contractors. They're not going to be there to take a check and all of those things to try to get folks to start work or wherever. They're not going to be doing that. So that's a good thing. I know that we've warned you over the last several weeks to, you know, be wary of people that just show up out of the blue and you really don't know. They didn't announce they were coming, and they may try to put themselves forth as professionals. And then, of course, but be really, really careful. And especially a lot of our seniors that have been affected by that. You adult children that have parents that have been affected by this thing, get involved. Get them to those centers that they've set up. And if they can't, and at least be there welcome, you know, if these people do come by, to assist them in getting that information. Because unfortunately, we see this happen too often in disaster, as well as fake fundraising for police and fire departments and all of this kind of stuff. So it's just a fact of life we live in these days.
Yeah, it's a sad fact, but it is a fact. Yep. And so I agree wholeheartedly with what Brother Eddie was saying, is that, you know, if you've got parents that that might need a little help keeping things straight, and it does happen, maybe get them and take them to one of the centers and be proactive. But if not, maybe you can be there around the house with them. And again, I don't know what areas they're going to be in, at what they didn't give like a map where they're going to be at certain times. They just say that they'll be doing it. We know that the deadline to apply for assistance from FEMA is the 8th of November.
Okay.
So it's going to be happening in the next few weeks, because it's hard to believe we're knocking on October's door. So again, they will have on FEMA attire, and they will have a federal photo ID badge. Make sure you ask to see it.
Good deal.
Yep.
Good deal. So that's good. That's
on.
Good information.
That's going on. Saw something that was also pretty neat. It came out of, I guess, Asheville is where the story originated from, that I saw it. A World War II veteran was able to go to Baltimore recently and get his special award. The Merchant Mariner Act was signed by President Trump into law back before he left office. And what it did was it gave or designated living World War II merchant marines. It designated them as recipients of the Congressional Gold Medal.
Okay.
And they were supposed to be officially awarded this during the convention in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Well, COVID came, so they pushed it to like November, and then they couldn't have it then, so they were actually able to just have it.
Oh, wow.
And so the gentleman from our area, Harold Wellington, got to go to Baltimore and got to receive his medal.
How about
so
that?
I thought that was really neat.
About that?
Said that what they did is they recognized their contribution as they served as sailors, shipping services or supplies rather to the Allies while they sailed defenseless against the German submarines that were patrolling in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
So they were pretty much the supply chain.
I was getting ready to expound on that, but I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, it's very, very an untold story, it really is, of the Merchant Marine.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they've been present for a very long time, in all of our history, from the days of the Revolutionary War all the way up through even now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very dedicated force of, you know, for the most of the time, they're just busy doing their civilian work, doing their civilian deliveries and supply and all that stuff. And then, you know, during wartime, the government activates that particular. They're not under any branch of service like the Air Force or the Army or the Navy or anything like that.
Really?
But they have very close ties to the Navy, obviously, because the Navy takes care of the battle side part of combat operations. But the Merchant Marine, you know, my dad used to tell us stories how that when my dad was on an LPD ship during Vietnam. And those Merchant Marine supply ships would pull alongside of them, and they would exchange cargo while they were moving. you know, across the ocean at the same speed. They would match speeds, and they would exchange cargo via these huge rope lines between the ships. And so it's a daunting task. And one particular part I enjoyed reading about was the World War II part. You know, they were, a lot of them came under attack. Many people don't realize that German submarines came in. You know, they were sailing right up to the harbors mm-hmm. of the United States. I mean, they were extremely close to getting into some of the harbors that we ship from, whether it's in Charleston, whether it's in the coast of North Carolina, even on up the East Coast into New York and places like that. They were within, you know, if there had been such a thing as cruise missiles back in those days, it would have been very easy for them to launch them at our mm-hmm. cities. And so our ships, particularly the Merchant Marine, they sailed defenseless against those and were very successful, really, to be honest. They were very successful in navigating around the German and Nazi submarines to get supplies to England and to France during the war. So they weren't necessarily
fighters. They were just trying to get the supplies delivered.
Yeah. I mean, they were oftentimes they would defend their own ship, kind of like what a lot of ships do today. They have very, very meager means to, like, repel a boarding or something like that. But they were not warfaring. And under the rules of combat, they were not allowed to be fired upon. But, of course, not everybody obeys those rules.
Don't play those
and,
rules.
And some were lost. Mm-hmm. Some ships were lost during all of that. But, yeah. So to be able to do that, I appreciate the president at that time acknowledging that as a vital role. They never would have got their supplies because every man that was drafted and every man was sent to go fight, and those older gentlemen here that were running the Merchant Marine getting those supplies was a critical part of the war.
Yeah, and it is. It's good to see them getting recognized for what they did. And that's what this gentleman from Asheville said. He said it was nice to go. And they got to see some other things while they were there. So I just wanted to say congratulations. Yeah,
congratulations.
That was just kind of a neat story. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. We mentioned last week about it being, or was it this week? Again, I've been away for 2 days, so it may have been last month or it could have been yesterday. We talked about car seat safety and things like that.
Yeah.
Probably was this week.
I don't know.
But the CDC estimates that of the car seats that are being used or booster seats that are being used, 46% are not being used the right way.
Wow.
And that's a pretty staggering statistic uh-huh. when you think, I mean, that's children's lives. They said that the number one mistake that parents make is the LATCH, which I didn't realize there was an acronym, Lower Anchors and Tethers for Children.
Yeah.
And it's that hook thing that's so aggravating that I was talking about mm-hmm. that I never can get.
Yeah.
But they say that is important because it's meant to secure the seat to where it remains flush to the vehicle seat cushions. If there is a sudden stop or a collision, it's meant to keep the child, because there's been times that impacts have been so severe that the seatbelts have broken and things, but they say this is just another step in the line of defense in keeping that seat where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on to say that some people, when they install them, they'll want to put a blanket or maybe a towel under the seat because they think it's protecting their car seat, you know, the actual seat of the car from being torn or scraped or scuffed. But they say don't do that because that's actually lessening the effectiveness of the hook.
Okay.
And they say that also you need to watch that car seats have an expiration date on them.
Yeah.
And said that they're good for like 6 to 8 years. It just depends. I was trying to look. I think they said an average of between 6 and 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, if a car seat has expired, if it's known to have expired, they will cut the straps on it.
Yeah.
And also, if a car seat is involved in an accident, mm-hmm. if a vehicle that has a car seat in it is involved in an accident, law enforcement will cut the straps. And I'm sure there's probably a threshold because of the safety. So they will actually cut the straps so that that car seat cannot be used again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess it's viewed as compromised since it's been through an accident.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm processing.
Yeah.
I'm processing because my thing is that, well, if your automobile has a seatbelt,
mm-hmm.
and they're made out of the same material, and your car is involved in an accident, and you get your car repaired, does that mean you need to have your seatbelts repaired?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or replaced?
I don't know exactly.
I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm asking because see, the expiration part. You know, because I'm telling you, used to, of course, if you're like a lot like me, I make the, when I have a chance, I used to do it a lot, because my wife and I are thrifters.
Oh, yeah, I love thrifters.
Not drifters, thrifters.
There you go.
Y'all know what thrifters are? You have a circuit.
You like the thrift stores.
So, yeah, so sometimes we come, I ask my wife when we go do that or something, well, okay, we come out to I-26, either we go north or we go south. To whether we either go toward Asheville or we go toward Greenville. Lately, we've just kind of been going down toward Greenville a little bit more because of all the construction and everything. But, yeah, and you see a lot of those. And I think from what I've seen lately,
mm-hmm.
given this information, a lot of the thrift stores have stopped taking them.
And I think
because of those reasons.
I think this is one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
And so they just say, too, that you need to also watch your child's weight and height.
Yeah.
Because after they get to a certain weight and height, you are then supposed to stop using the car seats mm-hmm. apparatus and use your car's seat belts.
Right.
To go through it. So there's a whole thing. And again, this third week of September, the whole full week, we're calling it this week, is Child Safety Awareness in the automobile. So just make sure that they're using the right seat that's right for their fit and that it's put in correctly.
Yeah. And one thing to cut down on the aggravation, because I know all of us who've had kids and have helping raise our grandkids, we mentioned this the other day.
Yeah.
Moving car seats around between vehicles can be a little bit of a pain, if you put it mildly, especially when you're having difficulty getting those latches attached to the safety clips that are in the seat of your car. And I found too that tether that they mentioned,
mm-hmm.
not just the latches that go down like in the seat part of your vehicle, but those tethers which go over the back of the seat into those little manufactured hooks that are mm-hmm. in your car seats now and cinching those up, it really, really helps to keep the seat secure. And so, yeah, if you have to move car seats, probably go ahead and invest in another one and leave it in the other vehicle. That way you're not being aggravated so much. All I know is I wish somebody's got a design that where I'm talking about those bottom clips that go in the base.
I can't get them undone. Those,
even if you're able to get the clips in, now they're the real fancy ones have like the button kind that clip like a seatbelt does.
Okay.
The real fancy car seats have them, but those ones that just have the little metal clip with a little spring retaining thing, you know, and you try to push that in at the same time that you're trying to unlatch it. I've mashed my fingers a couple times trying to do that. So somebody's got to invent a little bit better system, but I found this to be true. I found this to be true. When I was driving a school bus, they started putting these integrated, because our kindergartners were getting smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put all our kindergartners in the first six seats of the bus had these integrated car seats in them that actually the back part of the seat folded down, and inside were the shoulder harnesses and the lap belt that went across, because most of them did not meet the weight requirement and obviously the height requirement. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the car manufacturer that was making those at one point in vehicles.
In some of their vehicles.
And you could order it that way to have an integrated car seat within the car. And then when your child wasn't in it, you just folded the belts and then flipped the seat back up and you didn't have to worry about it. So there's got to be a better system. Got to be a better way.
Yeah, we're all about keeping the children as safe as possible. It's just sometimes you just, okay, like you said, how do you know if one that you're getting at a garage sale, yep, or somewhere, you just need to check the dates on it.
Absolutely.
And I'd say if the strap.
Well, there's some things you just don't screen. You know, you just don't go second best on, if you know what I mean. And those are things that I'm just a thorough believer that when it comes to babies and children, and you kind of start to relax a little bit as they get older and stuff, but when they're babies and when they're children, if you can at all possible, just go for the good stuff and get you know.
And watch for sales. And sometimes there's organizations that can help you.
And you know what? Can I just say this right here too, quickly? You know, when you have, I know a lot of places, especially churches and stuff, that have baby showers and things like that for expectant parents. You know, and I know a lot of times we tend to want to, you know, get the frou-frou stuff, you know, all the sweet stuff and all that. But, you know, parents, new up-and-coming parents, you know, they could really appreciate, you know, those kind of things.
That's true.
To go and just get them new. Just buy them new, whether it be a car seat, whether it be a high chair, whether it be a crib or whatever like that. It's just better that, you know, that you can start off with the most safe items that are on, you know, have come on the market, because all the time getting better, but it's just good to do that.
It is, and I love that idea about maybe church going together, and that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Someone said that WNC Safe Kids sells new car seats, very reasonable, and they will also help you install them.
Oh, that's
so
good.
How about that? So it's WNC Safe Kids,
good
and you
deal.
Can do a Google search. Thank you for that, Bradley. He also said, U.S. government, we now have to recycle plastic because it doesn't break down, but we need to also put an expiration on that plastic because it will go bad. Yes, go figure. I'm with you there, brother.
I like,
we'll have to keep that one. Well, it is Swap Shop time here on this Thursday, and if you have an item for us, just give us a call, 828-884-9427.
Here are some brand new oak cabinets. They're 15 base cabinets and 5 wall cabinets. Call for exact sizing. Make him a reasonable offer. 877-3099, 877-3099.
And someone also texted in and said that Mr. Wellington is part of one of her sister's family.
Oh,
so
well, good.
That's neat.
How about
and
that?
Someone said, fall, I love the crisp mornings and the blue fall skies. Yep, I'm in with that as well.
Yeah.
And then my mom, I'm thinking, who knew this about my family? But this is my mom texting me. Hey, Mom. That one of my uncles, I guess that would be my great uncle, Mr. Robert Hall, was a merchant marine.
Good deal.
How about that?
Yeah.
He was my grandma's brother.
Good.
Let's see. And somebody said they had a friend that had a Dodge Caravan that had the built-in car booster seat in back seat.
Good deal.
How about that?
Yeah, so that was it. Okay.
Somebody said off the script, but hey, we have no script here. Do you know 276 is passable from Pisgah Forest to Waynesville? What I know is that if you're going to be down to one lane, in places.
Yes.
And they have the automatic traffic arm, you know, the automated one there. From what I understand, that's they're not recommending that folks just general travel through there, but that's what I know.
Yeah, I believe that's what Pastor
right
Barton
now.
Updated us on. I
yes.
think he did update us.
That's
on that.
What I
that's
yes.
what we know.
And that's where I got it.
Good
I
deal.
Got that information from Pastor Barton. And so to the best that I know of, brother, you can go through, but it will get down to one lane. And I don't know if it's a bigger vehicle, you know, if it's a truck you're trying to take that way. And let me just kind of throw this in. I also was doing a little bit of checking the elk season. They're bugling in the valley at Cataloochee. And on the Elk at Cataloochee website, they're advising folks to not go through Canton and Crusoe but it's right off, is it Jonathan Creek?
I think so, yeah.
It's the Jonathan Creek exit. Mm-hmm. And once you take that exit, you're just going to go back under the interstate and take your first right.
Yeah.
That's if you're coming from our
going
way.
Going up toward Cataloochee.
Yeah. Yep. And it is a one-lane road. I know that they closed everything down for a while and did kind of a revamping of the road. Mm-hmm. I believe it's still just one lane, though. We went years and years ago, and it was rough. Have mercy, it was rough.
Yes.
We were in a Jeep, four-wheel drive Jeep. We didn't have to put it in four-wheel drive, but a time or two I thought we might have to. But it's gotten better from there. But I'm interested, if somebody's been over since they did the road work, I'm interested to see if you could take like a minivan or some type of that in there and see if it's workable. But they were saying with the elk, they're bugling now. And they say, though, again, they're advising folks not to go through Canton or Crusoe.
Okay. Here's a lost dog. It's a 10-month-old husky mix, black with white markings. It's very friendly. Lost right here in our area, right here in the Enon area of Pisgah Forest. If you've seen this dog, call them at 828-556-0697. 556-0697.
Here is a Fisher Mama Bear wood stove. Very good condition. This is over around the airport area. They're asking $650. 275-8990. 275-8990.
Here is a size 10 Skecher Classic Shoes. You can call Jackie anytime. 222-8712. 222-8712.
And I hope I'm going to get all this right, but I'm not too optimistic. There's going to be a few things in here, Brother Eddie. Feel free to jump in.
Oh, no.
It's a Matthews Halen 6 compound bow.
Yep.
It's like new condition. Comes with sights, stabilizer, and drop-away rest, and apparent AXION. You want to help me with
Axion.
That?
Axion.
There you go. That's the kind of sight it has. Stabilizer, drop-away rest, also released. It's in-lost camo XD, also has brand new Apex quiver and the soft shell case, all of that. First come, first serve, $850 firm. And it's about that time.
Yeah.
336-977-8115. And forgive me if I messed what part of that I messed up.
No,
that's good. 336-977-8115.
Here's someone looking for some persimmons. We were talking about persimmons. Now someone's looking for some. 508-3797, 508-3797.
Looking for a dryer in good working condition, 655-5859, 655-5859.
Here's a lady in Mills River moving to a smaller home, has lots of nice clothes, some never worn. She would like to give them away. Some are everyday clothes as well as nice church outfits. Sizes vary from 12-14 to 16-18. Also, she has some household items and decorations. She also wants to give them away. You can call 808-9445-808-9445.
A 2019 Jayco J-Flight white camper, 17 feet long. It has one slide out, queen bed, two bunks, a bathroom, stove, refrigerator, microwave, stereo, two extra 20-pound propane tanks. Dishes and linens will also go with it, as well as a large outdoor rug. It has only been used for 6 short outings. You must see to appreciate. Excellent condition. New, it would be between $25,000 and $28,000. They're asking $17,500. Serious inquiries can call 553-8961, 553-8961.
Here's a 4-piece living room suit. It has couch, love seat, chair, and ottoman. $200, and you must pick up. 243-0611, 243-0611.
6 weeks old Chihuahua puppies for sale, $300 or best offer, 556-5338, 556-5338.
Looking for some lawnmowers. Here's some push lawnmowers, good for parts. Also 1963, 64, 65 Ford wheel covers, and 64 and 65 Ford and Chevy fender skirts. 255-9033, 255-9033.
And this just came in, that there have been more than 3 million newborn loungers recalled after 8 infants have died.
Oh, my.
And these are, I'm trying to look here, According to the U.S. Product Safety Commission, infants can suffocate if they roll, move, or are placed in the lounger in a position that obstructs the breathing, or roll off the lounger onto an external surface, such as an adult pillow or soft bedding. And they're labeled Boppy, B-O-P-P-Y, Company, Original Newborn Loungers. So Boppy Company Original Newborn Loungers, Boppy Preferred Newborn Loungers, and Pottery Barn Kids Boppy Newborn Loungers.
Okay.
So consumers should immediately stop using the loungers and call this toll-free number for more information, 800-416-1355. Again, 800-416-1355. Or you can find out more by going to Boppy, BOPPY.com.
Okay.
That just came in. So I wanted to get that word out.
Very good.
Well, that's going to be a wrap of Swap Shop today. And we are bumping that 1 o'clock time. So we'll trust everybody has a great afternoon. And we will look forward, Lord willing, to meeting you back here tomorrow.
All righty.
You're listening to WGCR, AM 720 and 94.9 FM, W235 CA, Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, and WGCR.net.